Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another episode, episode number 12. Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave here. My name is Tony Smith, as always, with the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, B?
What's up, sir?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I can see you a little bit.
I know, right? So just everyone knows, we're so committed to this. The entire city, actually Metro Detroit, most of Michigan, probably right now today, was hit by a huge windstorm.
Nasty.
Like
50, 60. Yeah,
60 mile an hour winds. And none of us have power. I don't have any power. Brandon doesn't have any power. We're doing this on generator power, but the show must go on.
Well, it's funny because, Tony, you text me, this morning, afternoon? And yeah. You were like, you didn't have power.
No.
And NASCAR by Marriage was working from home today. I'm like, yeah, we're good. I got home from work about 5:45 and 6:10. Power went out, and I hooked us up. And
so it's your fault.
What isn't my fault? But we are in a dimly lit NASCAR man cave.
But we're here. We're doing it.
We're ready to roll.
All right. So at least you got that part of it right.
Yes.
Last week.
Last.
Not your best week.
Not my best week.
So,
Tony, why don't you fill everybody
so
in?
So I got to let everybody know what's going on, right? So every week, you know, we're in the man cave, the NASCAR man cave here. And we go through the whole show, and episode number 11, we're done. You know, and we upload everything. We review everything and edit all, and, you know, it's all good. Put it in a nice little package and upload it up to iTunes and Podbean. All good. So, Brandon, I think you mentioned during the show you had a drink during the show, and I typically don't. Today I'm bending that rule. But anyways, he had a drink, and no problem. We get the show all done. We're downloading it. Everything's getting ready to go. He goes and gets a refill. Now, it's not a little refill. All right.
I supersized it.
He supersized
last
the hell out of this thing, right? This thing is like, you know, like you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you can get the tall boy, you know, like the 22 ounce, you know, big boy. He's got the Red Bull, Tito's vodka, big boy. So this is number two. And he sets it down next to the laptop that is uploading everything. I think you can see where this is about to go. Whammo, right across the keyboard. Everything stopped. It was bad. So we were scrambling, did the laptop in a bag of rice trick and calling.
Thank gosh, this thing. So we went to bed, you know, we didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
We didn't know if there was going to be a show.
We didn't know. One, okay, if we got to record the show again, one, all right, we'd have to download all of the programming on a backup laptop. Literally, we were just in no man's land for 12 hours. I woke up.
I didn't sleep well. I'm not going to lie.
No, I didn't either. And woke up the next morning, came downstairs, powered it on. The main screen came on. I was able to log in, and I backed up this computer so fast. And knock on wood, everything's working. The only thing that doesn't work on the laptop is the keyboard. So I have
a little sticky from half a gallon of Red Bull.
Details. So I got a USB keyboard plugged into it.
So
but,
we're okay.
We're okay. And that was the picture of the sippy cups that I tweeted out.
Yeah, so the next day when he got home, I beat it to the store and beat him home. And I had a package of sippy cups on his front steps when he got home. He's drinking. He's having a drink right now, but it's literally in like a 2-year-old sippy cup.
And
right
I got
now.
Two of them because they're small.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was the great computer debacle
of
2017.
I didn't tell you this just, but you know, it just gives me an idea. Hold on. I'm going to write something up here.
Dead airspace.
Job posting.
Oh.
Engineer. Now accepting applications. Does not require sippy cups. No pay resume builder.
Do you want me to add a career section on the website?
Right? Scared the crap out of me. But anyways, we're here. Yes. We did get everything up, and it was a great week.
It was a great show. Yeah,
tons of downloads and good feedback from everybody.
Another fantastic week. We're up to over 2,700 downloads, 11 shows. We got almost another 600 new downloads last week.
600,
yeah. I think the show alone hit almost 500, and then between people going back and, you know, liking what they hear and checking out some other past episodes, so, which is awesome. So thank you, as always.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Tracking good, yeah. Yes, I like it. So, it's a good week, man.
Tony, what do we got today, my man?
Today, we're going to talk about Atlanta. We're going to talk about the stages, fantasy updates, right?
Yes, yes.
All the people that are in our fantasy league, which is way cool.
Yes.
And a new segment.
Yeah.
We'll get a new segment. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Should I tell them the name of it?
No, let's
okay,
wait.
All right. We'll move to that in a second.
We'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, hey man, Atlanta. I thought it was a great weekend of racing.
It was. I know our friends over at PETM had a blast.
Yes, they did.
Over there.
Good for them,
yes,
man.
Yeah, they had a good time.
I was a little jealous. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I talked to them. Talked to them a little bit yesterday, and they had a good time.
Yeah,
they had a great time.
Yeah, and Christopher Bell in the truck race. Man, he was just a class of the field. There was just no touching him.
You know, when the stages got announced, one of the first things people were talking about was, okay, what series, who, and how long before someone sweeps a race and wins both stages and the race?
Yeah, that didn't take long.
Yeah, race two.
Yeah.
So Christopher Bell dominated. From open to close. There.
You know, and literally off the truck. I'm talking like practice. You know, he was fast. So, congratulations to him. He had it. I mean, he had it pretty easy. Kyle gave him a hard time in the final segment there for the overall win. But he was fast. Good for him.
Now, I didn't get to watch the truck race, but how was the racing? You know, first non-restrictor truck race of the season. Was it?
Honestly, it was good, man. It was, I'm a fan of trucks.
I love it too.
Yeah. I like the trucks.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was a great race, but it was clearly the Christopher Bell show.
Yeah.
And he was just sneaking away from everybody.
Okay.
You know, so.
Was there as many cars lapsed down in the truck race as there
you
was
know,
from the cup?
I don't know. I don't, you know what? I'd be lying to you. I don't think so.
Okay. Speaking of trucks, you know, I got to watch Daytona, and then I was not able to watch the truck race for Atlanta, but they got 4 weeks off, man. The truck series is literally taking the entire West Coast series off, which is a big bummer to tease us with two awesome races and then say, haha, none for you. Yeah, for 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's an expensive swing for them. You know, they're not $20 million teams
like
the Monster Cup guys are. And you know, that truck that they have, that's what they have, is that truck.
Yeah.
You know, and
most
many
of them anyways.
not all of them, but you know, there are cases of that where can they go to the West Coast? Yeah, they can. Do you want to see 12 trucks race? I don't.
Well, it's funny you say that. I'm drawing a blank on the driver's name. But someone made mention to it to me on Twitter the other day about this truck driver. That's doing a kind of like a fan-funded type thing to get a new truck built where depending on, you know, what level donation you get, you may get some hot passes and sponsorship on the truck, trying to rebuild it from a fan perspective. So I wish I remembered his name right now, but
yeah,
I'm drawing a blank on that.
But
I wish him the best. I hope he gets to get out there and get a new truck.
But that's the part of truck racing that I really like that still attracts me to it is that there are still grassroots guys out there that can, and they are scraping that money together, and they have volunteer crews, and they have borrowed parts and whatever, but they're out there, and they're competitive. You know, they can still run in this series, and that's a good thing for me. That's why I like it so much.
No, totally. Yeah, you're definitely not seeing a fan-funded monster car by any means. You know, and even some of your lower-funded teams out there could put it together a little bit better than that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then we switched over to Xfinity.
Yeah.
But then the stage one is, then it goes right to Monster Cup driver, another Monster Cup driver, and another Monster Cup driver.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Harvick went in stage one. Keselowski went in stage two. Who, you know, both those guys did some damage on Sunday there.
Yep.
And then Kyle Busch winning and just adding to that all-time Xfinity race wins.
Well, he's,
that he's
got something going on there, doesn't he?
Well, it's crazy. You know, I mean, Mark Martin held that title for a very long time.
And I thought that record was... It was
untouchable, right? For a long time, right?
It was untouchable, but it's way out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Comfortable.
And now he's just, you know, like I said, he's just adding to it. And, you know, there's not even anyone really in a distant second to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did get to watch that race. I don't know if you got to see that, the Xfinity race at all. And I thought, with the exception of the track being wider and a little bit more banked, I think Martinsville's... What's the banking in Martinsville?
I'd be lying to you.
The High Line did not move in the Xfinity race. And the thing with the Xfinity race was there were a lot more early cautions. So when the cars were getting ready on that restart, if you were starting up top, man, you just got hung out to dry. The groove did not come into play at all. The top side did not come in at all. There was no passing.
And
at
I think
all.
What happens there, though, is that it's that top groove has to rubber in, right? Somebody's got to run up there to rubber, you know, get some rubber on the pavement so that you can go up there. But in practice and qualifying and everything, nobody's up there, you know? So yep. I think that didn't help.
No, not at all. Yeah, there was no movement up there whatsoever. Tony, question for you.
Sir.
So Kyle Busch wins. Kyle Busch is a part-timer in Xfinity.
Yep.
Can't earn points in Xfinity.
Yep.
Dominates Xfinity.
Yes, sir.
And fails the post-race inspection there. So there's a new saying now with wins like that encumbered.
I just heard this today.
Did you really?
Yeah. I don't even know what the word means.
So I'm attributing it to, like, if a college football team has to vacate wins, like there's a little asterisk next to it. So if the 18 car runs a full season, it will not be able to use that win to count towards eligibility for playoffs, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So, all right. So the 18, Kyle Busch, gets a win, goes in the record book as a win, but now it's encumbered.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, what do you think about the fact that he wins as a Monster Cup driver in Xfinity and could penalize the, you know, younger guy that may get the seat 3 out of 4 weeks of the year or of the month or 2 out of 4, you know, and that, you know, could impact them. You know, they lose their crew chief, you know,
makes me nuts.
Right.
It bothers me. And I'll tell you why it bothers me. Actually, Jeff Burton said something today. I saw, you know, the car's too low. It's illegal. Give that win to the next legal car.
Right.
And maybe that's the second place car. Maybe it's the fifth place car. Who can pass tech?
Right.
Right. And what really makes me nuts is there's almost, so this is nothing. All right. It's, you know what, it doesn't count towards the points. But you know what he did get? He got his picture and on every website, newspaper, his sponsors are thrilled. So he cheated to get there. Because honestly, when the car is too low, you have an advantage. And it's against the rules.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
Well,
I
don't know. We could say he cheated. You know, he didn't put it there. But the team itself, whether, you know.
Question. Who owns that team?
Joe Gibbs.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's part of all this,
sure.
Right? He's,
yeah.
You know, he
yeah,
owns.
No. Oh, totally.
You
no.
know, I mean, come on.
Oh, there definitely needs to. My big issue is. Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is that if there was a stiffer penalty for it, guess what? These cars would come off the track legal. If there was a bigger penalty for it. They're
right.
Getting a bigger penalty for leaving a lug nut loose than they are for this.
Absolutely.
And I've never left a lug nut off a car and made it go faster.
Right.
You make a car go lower, you're going faster.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. My biggest issue from a penalty standpoint, and this has been my issue since they started putting as great an emphasis on wins as they have, is that if you're going to allow the win to count... And you're going to allow and have your playoff structure based on wins, a points penalty doesn't mean shit.
It doesn't mean
anything. And if that's how you're going to continue to penalize is on points, and the win is what will get you into the playoffs, as long as you're in whatever place, why has this not changed? And that's just the most ridiculous thing to me is it only makes sense. Sure, if we're going to get a points thing, but we can win by lowering the car.
And
why not?
And your sponsors are happy, and they're in victory lane, and everybody gets their picture taken. And
yeah,
but the guy that was legal,
right,
gets penalized,
right?
And I,
yeah, no, that's
I can't
that's,
get my, I just, I can't get my head around that one.
I was disappointed with NASCAR in the sense that here they go making all of these changes that I like, you like, you know. Why didn't they revamp this? You know, and they changed the penalties a little bit in terms of, you know, there was the P1 to P5 penalties, and now it's level 1 or level 2 penalties.
Yeah, whatever. But
there's still not really any big penalty, this encumbered win. I guess we have to see how that plays out. But, you know, I still think it's child's play in terms of the penalty and structure.
Like I said, you get a stiffer penalty, a worse penalty for lug nuts. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, whatever. All right. Yeah. Enough.
We digress.
Are we over Xfinity?
Yes.
I'm just getting mad. So let's move on.
Yes. All right. The Cup. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I think we all know
giving
Tony
that one to me.
You're welcome. Yes.
Yeah. I'm a Brad fan.
I think we knew that as much as everyone knows. I'm a Harvick fan.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
So yeah. So Keselowski, sneaks into victory lane, in my opinion. But let me just clear the air right now. I have no issue with Austin Dillon.
Okay.
I do not. That said, I think and have seen numerous times where they've been able to get a car refired. So I do not fault them completely.
For trying
and staying out on the track.
And if you listen to the radio communication, too. He had to recycle everything, okay? Shut everything down. The computer takes, I think it was 4 seconds, they said. Count at least 4. Try it again. Reset everything. So
by that time, he had already passed pit road. So
he's going 160 miles an hour still.
So there was...
Right. Now he's trying to stay out of everybody's way.
Right.
Not spin his car.
No.
Yeah. Reset everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's...
I've got no issue.
Screwing Kevin Harvick was probably way down his list
of
things that were on his mind at that time.
The amount of talk on Twitter and even in some of the Facebook groups of RCR has a grudge with Kevin Harvick and he told him to stay out because he didn't want Harvick to win. Like, really?
Dude.
Are we really...
That's really stretching it, man. He's been gone from RCR for a long time, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, like I said, man, all I think about what's going on in Austin Dillon's car.
Right.
It just shut off.
Yes.
Right?
Now, all of this is a moot point if, you know, there's no speeding penalty.
Yeah, he doesn't speed on pit road. We're not even talking about this.
And Tony, you and I have talked about this in the past in terms of Kevin Harvick has been very hard on his pit crew over the years.
Yeah, well, okay, that's one way of saying it. Right. Yeah, okay.
I mean, we've got the explicit as it is, you know. He's been very hard on the crew.
Yeah.
And they had flawless pit stops.
Yep.
Flawless. That team, that car was on point, and it came down to a very close driver error there.
Yep.
And, you know, he admitted that, and, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt the team or anything like that. I mean,
he
is first in standings.
Is. All right, but so two things. Now I'll give him full credit for coming on the radio and saying sorry to his team, because you know that's not always his MO.
No,
right?
Sure.
You know, he comes out on national TV and bashes his crew and things like that. Now, conversely, this is part of the reason why we're on a divided highway here. Where earlier in the race, and it wasn't that much earlier, Keselowski had to come back in.
Yes.
To get a lug nut retightened.
Yes.
And what did he say to his team?
Team effort.
Yeah.
He
said we win as a team.
Yes.
So that's it's just
a little different mentality.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is. Both guys are fast. I'm not taking anything away from anybody.
No.
But the whole conspiracy thing, he was added up, right? You're exactly right. If he doesn't speed, we're not even talking about this.
No, because that was his race to lose. And
That was just like the truck race. He was just a tenth of a second faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I mean, you got to be perfect, and you got to hit your spot every single time in the focus out there. It's hard. But, you know, and that tenth of a second doesn't sound like much, but after 15 laps, you're up by a second and a half.
Yeah.
After 30 laps, you have a 3-second lead.
Yeah.
That's a straightaway.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
he had half the field lapped before with 20 laps to go in stage one.
Yeah.
I mean, the car was wicked fast.
Totally. Yeah. You know, the good part of it, you know, the stage stuff, he gets something again. His whole day isn't a wash.
He came very. We were very close to having 2 out of 3 series stage
sweep.
Sweeps.
Should have. Yeah.
Ultimately. Yep. Yes. You know. So
we were close.
It's going to happen. There's no point about that. But
You know what I meant? I was thinking. Like lap number 2.
Yes.
Jamie McMurray bounces off of Logano. I'm like, oh my God, Brandon's got to be dying right now.
Like Daytona, the Clash. This guy's, you know, fortunately, there was not much to be said about afterwards, and he calmed down on the track.
Yeah.
But I was just like, literally, like, you have got to be kidding me. He's going out here.
Like lap 1 or 2, he hits Logano, and Logano made a great save.
Yes, he
did.
That
car was way sideways.
Jamie McMurray's driving the last 2 weeks reminds me of someone that plays like a PlayStation NASCAR game
and sets it on easy and just
drives through the field bouncing off cars.
A little Grand Theft Auto the off season.
Yes.
But
all right. So, yeah. Tony, 2 weeks worth of stages.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Not like it?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I way back.
Yeah.
Episode 2.
Yes.
I wanted something like this. Yeah. You know, and
I love it.
I'm good with it.
I like how it's playing out. I like that literally I'm making sure I'm at the TV close to the end of the stage or whatever.
I caught myself a couple times. All right, I get up. And whatever, I was going to just walk away for a minute and go, there's only 10 laps until the next
refill and wouldn't get up to go and get it. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I needed to go, you know, and I was live tweeting during the race, which, you know what? I didn't think it would be that much work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work keeping up, like typing, trying to watch and catch up with responses. And
I'll just watch the race.
Yeah.
I'll get back with everybody later.
Yeah. I don't know how often I'll be able to do that. That was some work.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think is asinine is, and I didn't recognize or realize this during Daytona, they're handing out trophies for stage
wins. You were telling me about that. I didn't see that, but like, are Rodney Childers and some of these guys, they're going to have to get like a storage garage to put them all in.
Seriously.
I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, and here was the crazy thing. All right, so you know how they interview the driver and the crew chief during the caution, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A picture came out right after he was either getting ready to be interviewed, Rodney, or right after, and he's sitting up on the pit box, and they're like, you know, hey, look over here, and he's sitting up on the box holding this trophy. And the look on his face was just like, can you let me get back to doing what I need to do?
I'm kind of busy here.
Like, trophies.
So do you want to go home with 2 stage trophies?
No.
And finished in 7th place?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Or whatever? Yeah. Right? You know, no, I'll take the big one, please.
Yeah.
I'll just go for that one.
Yeah.
You know?
That baffled me that and that's a media thing.
We'll see if they stick with that.
That blew my mind there.
That is kind of strange. The only other thing that stuck out, there's two things, is I'm not used to seeing Dale Jr. 5 laps down.
Dude.
And Kyle Busch was
Junior
running 18th, 20th all day long, and that was weird.
The class of the Hendrick, the class of Hendrick right now is Casey Kane and Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
Junior and Johnson I think it's either 31st and 32nd or 32nd and 33rd.
Yeah, they're not so much.
No, and Tony, we were talking right before the show, with the stage points, sure, a win will help you climb those point standings fast, but if you're just trying to nickel and dime because of the fact that other drivers have a chance to gain extra points on top of their finishing spot, climbing out of a 30th or worse place in the standings this early is going to be a little bit more of a challenge.
It's going to take some
work. Yeah, it's good.
It is. Yeah. It is. But, you know, then the other thing, so I was actually, so watching practice and qualifying, you know, these cars are bouncing around. They're half sideways. I would have thought there would have been more spins, maybe even like single car spins in the race.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But there wasn't until the last, you know, we went 250 laps or something like that.
Yeah, 239 caution-free laps. We made it through both stages
before we even got our first caution. And then, as you know, kind of makes sense a little bit, you know, try to get a little more anxious and go
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing else, that then I'm veering off course again here, but I didn't realize, and I don't think anybody else did, you know, cars can go into the garage to get repaired mechanically.
Mechanically, yes.
But not for crash damage. Yes. So that was brand new news to me.
I didn't realize that. I thought if you took it behind the wall, you were done.
That's what I thought, too.
Clarification on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, normally if you got a race that's going 239 caution-free laps, it may be a boring race. But I tell you what, I did not think that was a boring race. I thought the on-track racing was good. There was passing going on. There was change in positions with the pit stops. Like, that was a long green flag run there of almost 240 laps of exciting racing where I didn't need that caution in that restart to feel like I was watching a competitive race. I felt like... obviously, Harvick having 5 second leads wasn't necessarily that competitive, but the rest of the field,
everybody else was right
was
there
racing.
Fighting. Yeah, they were fighting.
I thought it was a good race from that perspective.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, there were some good runs by you know, Clint Bowyer had a good run going.
He
made his way up to third until he hit the wall.
Yeah, right up till that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that.
But, you know.
No, he did.
Yeah. And he had a good run at Daytona, and I don't, you know, Daytona's not a strike in my book. That's a freebie. I think Clint Bowyer will be knocking off top tens here very soon. I think he, based on how I've seen him drive in Daytona and at Atlanta, even though the finishes don't represent it, I have no problem saying Clint Bowyer's back.
Points,
I think
points wise, he's not doing bad. Is he?
No, I don't think so, because I know he got some stage points and things of that nature. I'm not sure where he's at in the overall standings, but yeah, no, I don't think he's doing horrible. Another solid run by Kyle Larson.
He's just got to get past this whole bridesmaid thing. I don't know what it is.
He's just got to catch the bouquet, man.
Yeah, he does, man. And I don't, you know, it's weird. I don't understand it, but he's running good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Daytona, I mean, it's not his fault. He, you know, they ran out of gas. He ran out of gas. So did half the field.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And he was there. He had it in his lap, but, you know. I don't know if he would have been able to hold off Keselowski, but
Matt Kenseth was a few laps down and
came out of where did
literally that's just a matter of strategy.
Where did
use
he come
cautions
from?
To your advantage? Like, he just nickeled and dimed his way up to a top five, and I was like, oh wow,
yeah.
Like,
I don't think
the announcers heard his. I didn't hear his name once until they were they waved the checkered flag and were announcing him as they were coming across.
Yeah,
the strike
I don't think I did.
No. Casey Kane battled back to a top five.
Yeah, he's running good.
Good run there. Tony, a lot of teams had a lot of pit road issues. And that just goes to show you, with good equipment, good management from the crew chief, if you have some of these either, you know, speeding penalties, pass-through penalties, whatever it may be, you can battle back and still get a decent finish with how it played out here at Atlanta.
Yep, I agree. You know, one of the teams that surprised me, and it was right from practice one, was the RCR cars. Ryan Newman was fast.
I ended up taking Newman in fantasy until he, you know.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying anything. but then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, like we said, you know, Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr. were nowhere to be found. So hopefully... I'm sure they're working on that.
I would like
something
to think
tells
so.
Me.
Yeah. Yep. Tony, you notice we didn't have a full field out there?
You know, I did.
It took me a minute to realize it.
You know, I did, and I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I was too.
I was a little surprised.
I kept seeing him flash on the thing, you know, on the screen with the placing at the top.
Yeah.
Kept just saying 39 and flipping right back over to fourth, and I'm like, where's 40th?
Yeah, where's
and
the other? Like, where's the other car?
Oh, there
isn't
one.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that, but yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, tires, man, they got they didn't last too long out there.
No, that's it's an old abrasive track.
Yeah,
it's chews them up.
We're gonna
spits them out.
We're gonna get to tires in a little bit.
We'll get to the tires, and we're gonna talk about tires a little later.
I think we're gonna talk about tires.
All right, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, thanks to some good racing.
Yeah,
the stages worked well.
Well, and I tell you again, and not just because I'm a Kevin Harvick guy, but it just goes to show you with this new format, finishes that weren't up to typical standards for Kevin and he finished ninth in Atlanta, which isn't horrible, but he's leading the point standings because of his stage finishes. So he's got three stage wins in six races.
Yep.
He's won 50% of the stages.
But here was the craziest. So I looked at the top 10 today.
Yeah.
You know who's in there that surprised me? So we already talked. So Blaney.
Yeah.
Is in there.
Yeah.
Casey Kane.
Running
well.
Yep.
And Trevor Bain.
Yeah, he
and
wraps Rick, up
truthfully,
the top
10. Ricky Stenhouse ran well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so maybe the Roush guys are coming back to life here.
Maybe, perhaps. We shall see.
Where's the Biff?
Biff's doing TV, man.
Biff's doing
TV. I haven't seen his show. I don't know. I think he's done one or two of them, but I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't caught that. I'm just kidding. But
Tony, so there were some speeding penalties.
Some. 10?
10. 2016 Atlanta race had one speeding penalty. With the addition of some new timing lines, we had 10 speeding penalties.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, what is your thought on the policing of speeding down pit road and the adding of timing lines there, sir?
You know, I'm okay with it all, and I know it's all done in the idea of safety. You know, I'm all for all that stuff. Here's the part that I don't understand, and they use the cost thing out there as the reason for this. You know, in IndyCar, in anything else, you pull into the pits, you hold a button on the steering wheel, and it's a rev limiter. It will not go over that. It will not speed. You can stand on the throttle. You can put both feet on the throttle. It's not going faster than that. And I don't know why they don't.
Well, I think part of it has to do with they don't want it to be that easy on the driver. I think they want the driver to have
to mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, they want it more skill related than that. I think.
Yeah.
But
no one else does that, but okay.
Yeah, well, hey.
That's okay.
Right. On top of the speeding, we saw a couple over the wall too soon penalties.
Yeah.
And that brings me to a notion of this whole auto scoring thing. You know, years back, you know, each box had an official dedicated to that.
Right standing over your shoulder.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and depending on the mood, you know, hey, maybe they give you an extra foot. Whatever it may be, but now that's not the case. It is all automatic, and you can't argue with the tape. I mean,
no, it's there.
It's right there, right?
Called it, yeah.
You know, so that leads to the point of, is that good or bad for NASCAR? Is that good or bad for sports in general?
Yeah, it's a fine line, kind of like baseball.
Right.
You know, they say for the out, or they, you know, is it a ball or a strike? And there is a line, so they have to be, you know, they have to bring in, I think there's a reason to bring in and uses for the technology, but you still need some human element.
Absolutely.
In there,
you know? Well, you know, and I know that's been some of the issues in terms of, you know, the NFL and baseball. You know, baseball has been criticized for the game being too long as it is. If we bring in instant replay for every ball and strike, you know, how long are we going to let the game stretch out to?
Now, I will tell you, all right, I'm going to put on my crew chief hat again. I will tell you, so when I get assigned, you know, someone gets assigned to my pit.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
I'm making sure he's got sunscreen on. Do you need a water? Right? Is there anything I can do for you? You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You'd be super nice to him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and don't tell me, you know, there is a human element there.
Absolutely.
Right? Where they're going to, we'll let that slide.
Yeah.
So then that introduces an opportunity for the argument for the
absolutely sure,
right?
Sure. So. And, that, you know, NFL. Why can't we challenge that's a blatant pass interference? Or no, that's not a pass interference, you know?
Yeah.
You know, where do you draw the line in sports in general, in NASCAR, in the timing lines, the automatic scoring? Where do you give the leeway?
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes wonder if, depending on the track, you know, I think, for example, Michigan, it's a big, wide open track. I think the pit road speed is 60 at Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, so that means they could go up to 64.99. You know, is that enough? You know, could they stretch it out a little more? Could they give a little more leeway? Could they go 51 or 61? You know, could they give them 6 miles an hour? You know, I don't know. I just found that interesting in terms of the extra timelines to put the skill on the driver, you know. 10 speeding penalties. That's a lot.
That's a bit much. But so, you know what? That's one nice thing, though, about NASCAR. Well, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but at least they'll change things. If that did not work,
yeah,
they will come out and change it. But here's the thing. Here's the other thing you have to keep in mind. It's not when they hit the track, it's not the first time that they heard about all these new timing sections.
Oh, no.
They cover this. They have PowerPoint presentations. They have 8x10 color glossy photos with a paragraph on the back each one that defines everything for
sure.
them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and yes, that was an Allison restaurant a reference there. But, but you know, they know that it's there.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's kind of on them. So,
yeah.
Anyway, let's hit some social media.
Let's do it. All right. I'm sure everyone knows by now our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on...
Didn't we put up some new pictures and stuff, too?
Yes, we did. So if you have sent in some fan pictures, I've gotten quite a few of them up under the fan pick link on our website. Check those out. Continue to send them to us. If I've missed one that you sent, please resend it to me, and I'll get those up there.
Yeah.
So Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Listen to us on iTunes or Podbean by searching The Lap Traffic Podcast or NASCAR. Pictures are up and
actually,
on the website.
If you go on iTunes and go on NASCAR podcast, we're the first one.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Kind of easy to find.
Yes. Pictures are up. Tony gave me some homework last weekend and said, hey, we made reference to J-Ski changing and there not being a countdown clock anymore.
Oh, yeah. We have that
what
now.
What J-Ski taketh, the lap traffic provideth.
Oh.
So, so there is a countdown clock on our homepage of our website.
You want to know the countdown till the next race?
Check it out. It's live right now. It is live. And I updated it right after the race on Sunday. You know, it might be a day late, but it'll be up there relatively soon. Whenever I update the fantasy posting standings, that's when the countdown will be updated. So that's up there now. Some shout-outs to some new followers. Facebook, Chris Eckstein from Jasper, Indiana. Thank you for following us. Cody Zeeb, big Patriots fan.
Yes,
so
he is.
Thank you for following us. Mick Rose from Junction City, Kansas.
Mick cracks me up too. I like his comments and stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
And he is retired from the Army. So thank you for your service. Some new Twitter followers at Jeff Gordon Dahl from Tennessee, at TSJ NASCAR JB from Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we got building the state of Michigan fan base here a little bit. At Joel Chirico, who is a New York chef and owner of Amici's in New York. Thank you for following us, and thanks for listening.
That could come in handy.
It very well might. and at
the Chi-Town Hustler.
Chi-Town Hustler.
Arca crew guy.
Yes, from Crossville, Tennessee.
You know, one other one that I wanted to kick in there, too, on Facebook, and he's actually in our fantasy league, is Urban Eriksson from Sweden.
Yes.
Had a little medical stuff going on. Hopefully he's on the mend. So, Urban, if you're listening, man, and I'm sure you are, hope you're doing well, and be sure to get your pick in.
Absolutely, yes. Let's see here. Tony has picked a Twitter handle.
I did it.
Congratulations to @RockandRudy88. Tony, you want to tell him what your crew chief handle is?
I can be reached at Crew Chief Tony.
Absolutely.
That's me. So I got it set up. I got the profile. I got everything in there. I got gas in it, about ready to go through tech inspection. We're going to get it on the track here this weekend.
We'll let them know.
Yeah, we'll hit
we'll
it this
you know
weekend.
If you clear.
So, yeah, no, well, you know, yeah, right. Let's see if my splitter is off the ground far enough. But you guys have heard me talk about it before, but I'm a single dad. I got two teenage kids. I travel a lot for work. I'm a high school baseball coach. Baseball season's coming up. You know, my entire free time is this show and maybe some of the race. You know, I catch as much of the race as I can. So I'll do my best to keep up on Twitter. I'm not going to be as good as Brandon. I'm not going to lie to you.
Who
but
is?
But, yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
I mean, you lob it up. How am I
hitting? Yeah, I got to lift my feet up off the ground. I was getting deep. But anyway, sorry. But hey, thanks. Yes. Thanks, Rudy, for the suggestion. I am officially live.
On Twitter. Yes. Yep. We're still looking for a few logo ideas.
Yep.
So we're hopefully can get a few more in, and we're going to make some decisions and some suggestions, and that'll be going. So if you have an idea, whether you can actually do it or not, but if you got an idea on what a cool thing might be, you know, send us a message and we can get it out to other people. Absolutely.
We're still getting them in. And that's the thing is we're getting a lot in, and it's like, man, this is really good. Oh, yes. Wait, there's a really good one. Oh, wait, there's a really good one. So... So yeah, that's really cool.
Yes.
So fantasy. Speaking of fantasy.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. And then we're gonna get to fantasy. We don't have any contests going on right now. We're gonna get some new ones going out shortly.
Yeah, we'll get something mixed up here.
Big thanks to Hugh, who was at Atlanta. He sent us a goodie box.
Yeah, Hugh Gray from Alpharetta. So Hugh, if you're listening, thank you so much. I've got the envelope in my hand right here. And really cool. So I'm looking at two things. The Calder Park Thunderdome in Australia. I'd love to hear the story about how you got that one. And then there's a really cool black and white picture of Richard Petty crouched down talking to a young man with an STP hat on in a wheelchair. I'd love to know the story about that one, too. That's not that's not an accidental picture. I'd love to hear the stories about
those.
So,
yeah,
Hugh, thanks for that. And everybody that sends us stuff in, man, keep it coming. And we'd love to talk about it and love to see it.
And, Tony, you got a picture sent to you on Facebook from Stuart Sterling.
Oh, his truck.
Yes.
That was so cool. Did you post that yet?
I did not, but
so,
I will.
So he had a great idea. So he's a UPS driver in Alaska. And like driving
so
like
cool.
Yeah, right. In like the double long, you know, I don't know how long these things are, right? You know, half a football field. And driving it in Alaska. And he listens to us, you know, in his truck, and we appreciate that. So I think we got a fair amount of truck drivers that are out there following our show, and we appreciate it. But he gave us a really cool picture in Alaska with the northern lights. It almost looks staged, and I know it's not because I've seen the northern lights. It's phenomenal. So, yeah, if you got a picture of you and where you listen to it in your man cave, in your office, in your whatever, send it to us,
Absolutely.
Man. We want to see them. We're going to be posting more of that stuff.
Yes.
So
that
was way cool.
All right, now to fantasy.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to Rayon, who is a friend, or not a friend. He's a friend of the show, and she is the husband of Steve Merrick.
She's the mentioned. Husband? Yeah. I'm going to screw the sippy top on a little tighter there, coach.
She's the wife.
So Steve Merrick, who's been on here before, he's our battery expert. And so it's Rayon's his wife, and she picked the winner.
Yes. The only one that picked the winner.
Yeah, she's the only one out of all 30 of us. Yeah.
Almost everyone has scored at least some points.
You were scraping for that.
I still haven't scored a point.
Yeah.
7 out of 28 of us have not scored. And I am one of them. So the bottom 7 here, we need to get to work.
Don't do your homework there, Professor.
Aaron is currently by himself in first place with 20 points. And then we have a 6-way tie for second with 15. That's Cody, Chris, Rich, Chad, Zaylin, and Rayon are all tied in second with 15. And I'm assuming that's going to start to space out.
Rayon knows her NASCAR. Go on.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. So make sure you get your picks in for Las Vegas. I'll be sending out an email in the next day or so to remind everybody. I only had to hunt down picks, I think, from like 2 people on Sunday. So that's not bad. So make sure you get us your picks.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, yeah. So
we don't want to hound you, but no, we also don't want you to get zero.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the social media segment. Tony, are you ready to go to work?
Let's do it.
Oh, all right. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to the first edition of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. If anyone's got a question for Tony, email it to us, send it to us on Twitter, Facebook. You can even use the hashtag AskCrewChiefTony. Tony, today's question comes to us from Curtis Price. Tony, Curtis wants to know, what would be wrong with NASCAR bringing in different tire manufacturers as they do with bodies and engines? The competition would help everyone, and I'm sure companies like Hoosier and Bridgestone would be chomping at the bit to get in.
Absolutely fantastic question, and that's actually we've gotten a number of questions in, and this one's right at the top of our list. This comes in a lot, so I wanted to spend a couple minutes, and actually, so we created the Crew Chief Corner. So hopefully we make this a regular part of the show. So the answer there is, Curtis, Goodyear right now, they're in their final year of the contract. I'm sure that they'll re-sign. Here's what happens is you got to think of this from a business perspective. So Goodyear's not in this. It's not like they're making millions and millions of dollars selling these 39 teams' tires, right? They're not. What they're selling is manufacturing recognition. They're in every picture, right? They're in every frame of every, every car has Goodyear stickers all the way around it. Every picture, everything you've ever seen has Goodyear on it. That's what they're buying. They're buying that brand name recognition. Keep in mind now maybe like Bridgestone would want to get into that as well. But, they're the ones, Goodyear and Bridgestone, they're selling commercial tires that you want to buy your Goodyear tires for your truck, right? You want to buy your, for your wife's car, whatever you want to buy. That's why. So you talk about Hoosier, like you ever see an ad for Hoosier?
Well, Hoosier, I believe is actually the tire, company that has the ARCA. I believe they're on ARCA.
And they rock it. They make great race tires. I 100% agree, but they're not selling tires, at the local tire shop. I mean, that's just, for the normal passenger car market. So it's a marketing thing, really. It's to get their name out there, and it's not as big of a play for Hoosier. Now, I'll go back a ways. So late 80s, early 90s, there was this play. There was Hoosier and Goodyear, and it was a fight. But here's what happened. It did two things. It created disparity big time. You showed up on the right track on the right day, and Hoosier had that hot tire. They were 5 seconds a lap faster than everybody else, okay? Their race was over immediately, okay? Now, on the other side of it, Goodyear was doing the same thing. So you never knew it was going to happen, but it was more based on tire than it was on car or horsepower or anything else. The other thing is then they started pushing each other. And just like engine builders, I'm going to squeeze a little more out of that tire. I'm going to squeeze more out of that. I'm going to engine. I'm going to get a little more. And what you give up is safety. Right, they started pushing those tires beyond what they could safely get out of them. And I remember, Harry Gant and some of these guys hitting the wall, breaking their arms, breaking their ribs. They were those tires are fast. Yeah, they were going real fast. And then next week, Goodyear's gonna come back with a faster one, and then Hoosier's gonna come back. And it created a bad situation. It was unsafe for everybody, and it created so much disparity that it was literally just who rolled the dice who had the hottest tire. All right, so that was one thing of it. The other thing is you know, you look at so Bridgestone and whatever. So Bridgestone and Michelin, I'll tell you one quick story. Formula One, 2005, this happened. Formula One comes to Indianapolis to race. There's 20 cars in a Formula One race. There was 10 teams of two. Six of those cars had Bridgestones. 14 cars had Michelins. In practice, it was determined Michelin said the tires won't hold up past 10 laps. Don't go.
Wow.
You remember this?
Oh, well, I don't remember that, but I remember a few years back when, and it's funny, it was at Indy during the Brickyard. There was a real big tire compound issue, and there were cars after 10, 15 laps that tires were just cutting and going down.
So that's what was happening in the Goodyear Hoosier fight days. One company just hit on it that day. The other one could last 10 or 15 laps.
Yeah.
Well, that's crappy racing, man. You know?
Yeah.
And so here's what happened in this Formula One race. Like, in Formula One, whether you're a fan or not, it is the highest level of racing technology-wise. I mean, the money that goes, hundreds of millions of dollars for these teams. It's crazy. All right, so 20 cars come out. They take the grid. They do their warm-up lap. 14 of those 20 cars pulled in the pits. It was a six
wow.
lap. It was six cars.
Six cars. Wow.
Do you want to plan your vacation to spend the weekend to watch six cars run?
No.
No, I
no.
don't.
No.
So
no.
Great question, Curtis. But that's why. I mean, that's the ultimate thing is it takes a lot to bring these out, and then they get in these battles, and it just turns into unsafe, and it gets out of control,
yeah.
in my opinion. So yeah. At the end of the day, keep your questions coming in, guys. Love to talk more about it. If you guys want to hit me up, you know how to get me on Twitter now.
Right.
Feel free to talk to me about it. But at the end of the day, remember, trust the crew chief.
Absolutely. Tony, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Why did it seem that we had tire issues with the Truck Series and the Cup Series at Atlanta and not as much
Xfinity.
With the Xfinity?
Yeah, you know what? I noticed that too, and it was kind of strange. The only thing that I can attribute it to, I think maybe they had a little less aero, maybe the speeds are down a little bit, and just not working that tire quite as aggressively as some of the Cup guys are. But yeah, I did notice the same thing.
Tony, you got anything else for the first edition of the Crew Chief Corner?
Man, that's it. Just keep them coming in. We got other topics in the
absolutely.
Queue. Keep the questions coming. Hit me up. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and I'll talk more.
Very cool. I like that. That was cool.
Yeah.
Before we get into our next segment here, official report from the NASCAR Man Cave. Sippy cup number one is empty.
Is dead.
We are moving to number
and
two.
And it can't be spilled. I like it. It's always that second one that gets us right there. That's the one that worries me. It always bites me right in the ass.
All right. Tony.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch, known for not just winning races, but for doing double and triple duty sometimes. You had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I did. You know, you think about that. You know, he jumped right out of Xfinity car. And then he barely had time to get into the truck, and he won the race, which drags it out longer and takes more pictures and all of that stuff. Then he jumps in the truck, and the next day, I mean, what was it, 950 miles?
Over 950 miles, and that's just the race total in 2 days, three races, 2 days.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's not practice, qualifying, anything else.
Nope. He spent over 15 hours in the car over that 3 day race weekend period.
You know, that's I know he's done this. It's not his first time doing this.
Nope.
But I'm not used to seeing him laps down.
No. Well, you know, he dominated in the truck and the Xfinity. I don't know that it was a tire in terms of mental tiredness on Sunday, as it may have just been a car issue.
I think that's the hardest part of it, is staying mentally that focused long.
Yeah,
That's a lot. You know,
I first time this year that's balls to the wall
right out of the box for second race. Let's do the whole thing.
I
tall order.
I know he's got this planned a few more times throughout the year, but it is a lot, you know. And it, Kyle is, you know, he holds the record. He's the only driver to sweep a series at a race.
Absolutely Bristol. Remarkable. Like, you know, I said, like, it's not. I know it's not the first time you've been. No. He's got a family now.
Right. And that's my, you know, he's got a lot more going on, a lot more responsibility in the motorhome.
Maybe
and,
didn't
you know,
get quite as much sleep that night.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
It is a little harder.
So it'll be, you know, I'm sure he'll bounce back, obviously, you know. But when you look at it from the perspective of three races, 2 days, 950 miles, plus all the practice for all three and he spent a lot of time in that race car.
He did. And I thought about that, you know. When I saw the back-to-back races,
yep.
Which is a ton, but then to win, okay, I mean, that's great. I mean, that's what he wanted to do is win, but if he came in second place, honestly, he could have laid down, he could have got something to drink, he could have got something to eat.
Right, yeah.
You know, and just recharge his batteries a little bit, so you got to wonder. Yeah.
Oh, totally.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can he do it again? Yeah, he can. If anybody can do it, he can, but not used to seeing him.
No,
run that far back and getting lapped. That was not Kyle Busch-ish.
No. Tony, I mentioned that during the race I was live tweeting, and Ryan Newman had an issue with a battery, and the TV guys could not figure out why they couldn't replace it on pit road, why it was taking them so long. All they had to do was, you know, flip back a panel where the exhaust is, pull it out, put the new one in.
The left rear wheel. And I know. Larry McReynolds has been tweeting me. He's like, hey, crew chief Tony, oh, my God, what did I do wrong?
Right.
And shame on Fox, honestly, because they got that one wildly wrong.
Well, yeah, because they showed the cutaway car with it, too.
Yeah, they got to update some graphics big time.
Yes.
Because they're way off.
Well, I saw a tweet by Brian Keselowski.
Yep.
Who said the battery was moved 8 years ago.
And he's related to that other Keselowski guy.
Yeah. So I saw that tweet by him, and I responded back with him with the word details. And he responded back and said that when the Car of Tomorrow came out, it was mandated that the battery be moved inside the frame rails instead of the outside, which is why they had to take it to the garage, prop it up, and try to replace it
that way. Yeah, so it's inside the frame rail. It's basically under the driver's butt.
Yes.
You know, so it's you got to get the car way up there.
Yes.
How did they not know?
I don't know. I thought that was funny. But since he tweeted us back, I'm like, oh, hey, check out our show. He said he would. Hopefully he does. Maybe we'll hear something
and
from him one day.
And you guys remember Brian, this was, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. He's trying to make the Daytona 500 in his own car. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And Brad dropped back to pick up his brother and pushed him so that he qualified for the Daytona 500. Yeah, one of the coolest.
Very cool.
I'm a Keselowski, you know, whatever, but I thought that was just in just general racing terms. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But, you know, speaking of batteries, I had a thought on this one. And just before the show, I mentioned this a minute ago, but Steve Merrick, our buddy from Chicago, is our battery expert. That's what he does for a living. He, you know, testers chargers for every auto manufacturer on planet Earth. That's what they do. And I had a thought on it, so it was kind of weird to me that Ryan Newman's car, the battery died, right? Well, it was only a few minutes later when the number three car had the same exact problem. Kind of odd to me. I'm gonna bet you right now. I mean, if I was NASCAR, I would tear the alternator off both those cars and confiscate them. I'll bet they were dummy alternators.
What's that mean?
I mean, there was nothing on the inside of them. You pick up an alternator, they weigh about 15, 20 pounds, okay? And it recharges the battery, right, as they're driving. So I can build one with the housing, and it'll go around in a circle, and it'll look like one. Nothing going on in there. So I could take that 15 pounds, put it somewhere else in the car, and it robs horsepower. So that'll give you a couple more horsepower. It'll give you some weight that you can move somewhere else. And you just run that battery, and you think it'll go the whole way. Well, it almost did. They almost pulled that one off. But there is no possible way that they just happen to get two alternators that failed at the same time. Really?
This is week three of the Tony Smith conspiracy.
I'm telling you. All right. And I ran this by Steve Merrick, and he said, he paused. He said, that is totally plausible because they're the same battery. You would have the same issue at about the same time. And man, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just, as a crew chief, it's a great idea.
That's beyond my understanding.
I could put down an alternator and a header on the table, and Brandon wouldn't know which one is which right now. But that's okay.
Hey, I gotta. Do we not have power down here? Thanks.
We do
to
have
me.
Power. We do have power. So I'll give you full props for that.
So before the race at Atlanta this weekend, they were going to be doing a repave there, and it got a lot of buzz. Drivers were complaining, and now there is talk that they may put the repave on hold.
Well, you know,
Atlanta.
The drivers got there with this low aero package, and they're like, hey, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe let's not do this. Let's hold off. And I know that the track owners they're pretty active with talking to the drivers. They're getting feedback. Here's the only downside to putting it off. It's got to happen, right? Sooner or later, right? Here's the only downside to an older track is when it rains, you start getting those weepers, right? It starts seeping through, and it takes hours and days to get rid of those. That's the only roll of the dice that they're putting out there, but
sure.
I'd like to see it stick around for you know, one more time around anyways.
Yeah.
And,
especially because they don't go back again until next season. It'd be one thing maybe if they, you know, it was a track that got two races, but, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing one more on that track.
I'd like to see it once more myself. Yeah. So,
speaking of tracks with two races, Tony, there's some talk, there's some buzz going around that Las Vegas is trying to get a bid in for a second race throughout the season.
I heard that, yeah.
And, you know, so I guess my thought with that is if you're going to, if one track getteth, another track must lose it.
Yeah, well, who do you take it away from?
Honestly, if you had to ask me,
I know who you're going to hit.
Who?
Pocono. Why you pick on the poor people in Pennsylvania?
I know. Aside of the racing at Pocono, I love the design of the track. I think it's unique and cool, but just the racing there hasn't been that great. Maybe it'll change this year. I don't know.
And it's so wide.
So wide.
And,
my other gripe with Pocono, which you guys heard me go on a tangent last week on this in terms of the NASCAR scheduling, Pocono is our shortest turnaround from their first race to their second race. It's depending on the season, it's anywhere between 3 and 5 weeks from their first to second race there. And that's just...
Yeah.
That also just adds... We were just here 3 weeks ago
for
this, and we're back here again, you know? So... I don't think I'm going out on a stretch that could very well be a race that might lose to in terms of those that are on the list that could lose it. What do you got a track that you think might lose or doesn't need to have a second race?
You know, honestly, I'd like to see the All-Star race go away. I'm not going to lie. I don't get into it.
Yeah, but no, I agree completely on that. But if they lose if they change the All-Star race, that's not going to impact a regular season.
You're right.
Race
at
Vegas.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's markets of racers, right? You don't want to take one from Kansas. I think Kansas is a boring race, but Kansas there's some hardcore racers there, and they deserve a race.
Well, and I guess it doesn't have to be a race that's got two. They could take away a race that's only, you know, they.
Yeah, but I hate to wipe somebody
out. Chicago, you know, it only has one, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I hate
It'll
to
be
do
interesting
that.
To
I
see
hate
that.
To do that to any of them. You know, I hate
no,
to,
totally.
You know, but.
Yeah. And then, Tony, there's also talks of getting rid of the New Hampshire race in the Chase and adding the Charlotte Road Course there if things go well there this year.
Boy, I saw that, and it just depends on, honestly, it depends on how the course is, you know, and how it really races. You know, the Sonoma course is good. The Watkins Glen is so good. It just fits the cars so well, and it's such good racing. I don't know how it'll be coming, because they go into the infield, and then they come back out onto the high banks. I don't know how these splitters are going to handle that transition.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them test that out.
Yeah, so I know they've been working on it, but that's what we've been asking for. You want a road course thrown in there? Here it is, and it's a venue where everybody can sit in the stands and watch the whole race.
Yes,
you know where you can't do it, Watkins Glen.
Sure, Tony, I did a Twitter poll the other day asking if people liked when I talk about the Vegas odds, because I think it's cool. I like it. You know.
Did a thing. Yeah.
I like to.
What are the odds?
Well, so that's the thing. So I do this poll, right, asking if people like when I do it. And, you know, like 80% were like, yeah, it's cool. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. So I went to go look up the odds and they're not posted this week yet. So I have no Vegas odds for you.
I'm betting Mr. Harvick is near the top.
I would think so.
Yeah,
yes.
I would think so.
Yeah. West Coast Swing.
Yeah.
Coming up.
We got Vegas, Phoenix, Fontana. Fontana's fast.
It's like it's Michigan's sister track.
It is. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Tony, you got anything else?
You know what? I'm looking forward actually to I like the Las Vegas race.
I do too.
See how this goes. Next week, man, we'll cover fantasy results.
Let me hit our social media.
Get to hit our social media.
Yeah. LapTrafficPodcast.com, Facebook at LapTrafficPodcast, Twitter LapTrafficPC. Look for some new contests. Send us some logo ideas.
Oh, we got a guest coming up.
We do have a guest coming up. Yes. So on the Tuesday, the 21st, we'll be recording, posting on Wednesday, the 22nd, with our special guest, Brad Junker of Junker Motorsports. We are very excited to have him on, and he's kind of excited to come on, too.
Yeah, you know, good grassroots racing guys, Power Skiff over there. That's good stuff, man. We're looking forward to that.
I know we're going to try to actually maybe go up and see them June 3rd.
We're there.
In Clio.
Be on that like a hobo on a ham sandwich, man.
Wow.
All over it.
Wow. Tony, what do we got next week?
Like I said, we're going to be covering, I'm sure there's going to be more penalties. I know we just saw AJ Allmendinger get, you know, sent to the electric chair for having, you know, lug nuts loose. So we'll see what other things they come up with this week. Should be another interesting week of NASCAR.
Tony, you got an early pick for Vegas?
Early pick? Man, Chase is just knocking on that door. He's just hammering on that door. He's got to break through.
Jimmy Johnson's got a rebound too, right?
We keep saying this.
Right?
It's a repeat. Bound,
I mean, I got four more weeks to pick him left, so right now I'm going with Jimmy.
I'd go with that.
All right.
Yeah, I'd go with that. So, hey, everybody, thanks again, man. Episode number 12 in the books. Thanks for keeping up with us. You got to keep up with us every week. Otherwise, you will become Lap Traffic. I'll talk to you next week.
See ya.